guys, tumor over there. Come on, squeeze together. Your butts aren't as big as mine. Well, I guess maybe that will be it. That might be it. Yeah, slide the violin case down a little. There we go. Good. This is a teen service, by the way. You're going to find out why in just a little while. So just be ready for that. Here we go, John. Go ahead now.
This is all about the real neat stuff going on here. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardship, distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your hearts also. The second reading is 2 Timothy, chapter 3, 1 through 4. 4, 5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth, men of depraved minds, who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected, but they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me at Achaia, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be prosecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those whom from you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I will give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Here ends the reading.
Now listen carefully. The children can come down for children's sermon if they're willing to sit on a lap. If you're not willing to sit on somebody's lap, don't come down. And those of you with laps, make them agreeable and nice. Very good. Find a lap to sit on. Find a lap to sit on. There's more laps over here. There are some laps there. You can't stay. Got to go back. You got to sit on a lap. Or I'll pick you up then. Here you go, honey. Grandpa, whatever. Grandpa, here she is, honey. Sit on Grandpa's lap. Lucy, here she is. Sit on Grandpa's lap. There, sit on Mama's lap. There we go. Right on the end there. There we go. Thank you, kids. And my middle-sized kids, too. I guess you're big kids. You're not really middle-sized anymore. Can I ever get through a children's sermon without stepping on my tongue? Yes. How many of you guys know what a hero is? Little ones. What's a hero? Hero. Somebody saves people. That would be good. A fireman, a policeman who goes and helps save people and things like that. How many of you would know what a role model is? Role model. We're not talking about somebody that wears fancy clothes and sits and goes, all the things they do. What's a role model? Someone who sets examples. That's perfect. Amen. Sermon's over. Here's the question. You kids are helping me teach the little bigger kids, and the bigger kids are helping me teach the real big kids. Exactly the question that Paul is dealing with in this letter to Timothy. Timothy is only a little bit older than you teens. In fact, most scholars think he may have been as young as 16, 18, 20 teen years old. Okay? And as a result, this section I'm going to read to you is going to really be for my teens. But I wanted all of you guys to know you have this unbelievable ability to be a role model to influence somebody smaller than you. And you're doing it right now. You're doing it by what you joke around with, what you take seriously, how you sing, whether you're on your phone or you're not on your phone, because in one way or another, people watch you and you are learning. And so the challenge I want you to learn today is this one. These little ones on your lap are unbelievably important. It's okay. Hey, listen, unbelievably important. Yes, there we go. Good job. It's hard being a role model, isn't it? Yeah. And it's hard in the sense that I want you guys to understand as we go through the sermon, when I sat there as a teen, I had no idea what it would be like to be here. I really didn't. By the time I got to be a little older than some of you, the Vietnam War was going on. And I had the opportunity, or the threat, depending upon how you viewed it, to be drafted and sent to Vietnam and potentially die or be hurt seriously for my country. And you can have all the debates you want. But that was a moment in my life. But when I was your age, I had role models yet. Teens, as well as little ones. Who's your role model? Who do you want to grow up to be like? Good. Who do you want to grow up to be like?
Black Panther.
A Black Panther. That's honest. Honest. I had John Wayne, Sky King, Roy Rogers, who loved his wife, Dale Evans, unconditionally, and his horse Trigger, and am I dropping some names? I had role models. Can you live like that? Can you practice integrity like that? Can you stand with the good guy, the underdog, the one who's being put down? Are you willing to risk your life for somebody else? I had to learn that stuff. So all my teens, I want you to remember you're the role model for these kids. This is not just an accident. I want you to be a blessing to whoever's sitting on your lap. And whoever's sitting on the lap of the person next to you on both sides, pick them too. And whenever you see them in church, find out their name, say good morning to them, and be a blessing in their life. Can you do that? Good. Now, my little ones, you get to go back to your seats. My big ones don't. Here you go. Here you go. Grab something. Yeah, I know. There's only good stuff left in there. I'll get rid of the Go-Gurt vendor eventually here. Yeah, I think it's applesauce.
Thank you, Pastor Bruce.
You're welcome. Thank you for saying thank you.
Thank you.
Don't forget, let the ladies in. Let the ladies in. There we go. Let the ladies in. Good. Hurry up. I'm taking it away. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There we go. Oop, good job. I put you up front because this is really a sermon designed to speak to young people. I want to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry for whatever part or failure I played as an individual, a pastor, a teenager, a kid in college, a married father, and all the things I've been, for the kind of world that you're going to have to grow up in. I'm not sure it's any better or any worse than mine, but I probably can name a whole bunch more character people on movie screens and on television programs like I did watch Father Knows Best, and he did. I don't know if you have any heroes like that, all right? I watch programs where on television they encourage kids and people to go to church. I don't know if they've got any of those left anymore. And I'm sorry for my role in not giving you a better chance at the world that you're in. But I do want to tell you something. The Apostle Paul understood that Timothy, the young man that he was working with, was not a wimp. He understood that Timothy was able to do things and stand in places and accomplish things that the Apostle Paul was not going to be able to accomplish. If you finish reading this section in Timothy and you go all the way through to chapter 4, you will hear about Paul getting ready to die. Paul's about to have his head chopped off. All right? He's done the best he can. He's lived as much as he could. He stood the ground where he could stand his ground. And they were going to chop his head off. And that was going to be the role model that Timothy had in front of him. And this is what he's going to say to him. I need you to copy my example and to understand where God's got you. I don't want to pretend I know what it's like to be in high school, or I know what it's like to be on the teams, or hang out with the friends, or deal with the temptations, or understand how bad you can really get on a cell phone or a computer and do things that your parents haven't been able to figure out or find out. But I know this much, God has called you, and he has named you, and he's laid his hands on you. And when I pray for you, I mean those prayers, and I'm asking God to pour out a blessing into your life that would just set you free to never let anyone shut you down. The amount of courage it's going to take to survive the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years of your life. To find a mate, someone that actually loves you, that loves you for who and what you are, not because you happen to look a certain way, or not because you have a good job and they can make some money off of you, or 100 other the false reasons that some people get married. It's going to be tough. But so are you. You're not wimps. You've been taught. Paul said the Word of God has been made available to you. And it has the ability to equip you in every situation that you're going to face. And so when we start to understand, what are you talking about, Pastor? What do you mean by bad? There are 19 or 20, depending how you count them, different things that Paul says as he starts this text out. I want you to listen to it. Just a minute, I got to take a picture of myself on the show. I'm up here with you guys. Any of you do that? Selfieism. I don't want your pictures. I want you. Here's what I want you to know. The times are coming. They're going to be dangerous. Not okay. They're going to be dangerous. The decisions you're making now become lifelong sometimes. Not only do you make a decision on college, not only do you make a decision to drive, not only do you make decisions about whether you're going to have something to drink, eat, smoke, or whatever else is going to be out there for you, not only are you going to make decisions, you're going to make decisions on who you hang with. You're going to make decisions on who influences you, who gets to talk in your ear and own your heart, and what you're going to do with yourself, whether you're going to believe what God says about marriage, virginity, purity, righteousness, or anything else. It says the world around you will be so filled with selfies that you'll hardly be able to get in there, because all I care about is, did you see my face page, by the way? I put myself out there. I had spaghetti last night for supper, and I wanted everybody to know I made the meatballs, because you know homemade meatballs are really important. And then after that, I did have dessert, but it was a cheesecake. And do you care? You understand? Good. Good. It says people are going to be so self-fulfilling, self-looking. That is what they're going to be doing, looking at self. And every one of these, in one sense or another, half of them flow out of that selfishness. Now, can you imagine? I'm looking at you like you're my son, my daughter, my confirmands, my young people, and I'm going, we're about to send most of you to high school. A percentage of the kids in that high school are not going to be good. A percentage of those kids are going to be downright nasty, and they're going to see a cute little girl or a handsome little guy, and they're going to manipulate you, bully you, lie to you, cheat on you, steal from you whatever they can get away with, because they're people. You ready? I want you to love them. But I don't want you to let them destroy you. What a job I've just given you. What an unbelievable task. But that's what Paul's doing to Timothy. These people are going to be lovers of self. They are going to be focused on themselves. It's me, myself, and I, and how I feel. And you've got to figure your way through it. Now, I'm not sure your pastor does a good enough job for you. I like to pretend I do, but I don't think I can or I do. But I'll tell you this much. When God gets done with Timothy through Paul here, his last words at the very end of the text, if you begin looking at them at that point, he says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God knows who's going to hustle you. God knows who you're going to want to hustle. God knows the day you're going to be offered your first joint if you haven't been offered one yet. God knows the first time you're going to be tempted to drink. God knows every lie you're ever going to tell, and you sit here, and he knows and understands, and he has equipped you to deal with it. You don't have to choose badly. I have given you my word so that when your mom's not around and your dad's not there to ask and your pastor's nowhere to be seen, you're going to know the right decision. If you ever saw the movie Unplanned, which we showed, I was sharing it in this morning's Bible study. The young woman, she's about 16 or 17 years old, I believe, and she was having a debate of whether or not to kill her baby because she had gotten herself pregnant. And she had this little aside thought because she knew in her heart she wasn't supposed to do it. But she said, I discovered at that point, if you're about to do something you don't want to tell your mother you're doing, it's wrong. Wow, what a simple lesson. If you're unwilling to tell your mom what you're about to do or who you're about to do it with, don't even have a debate. It's wrong. It's immoral. It's ungodly. You're choosing badly, and you can choose to sin. I can't stop you from drinking. I can't stop you from drugs. I can't stop you from being nasty. I can't stop you from lying, cheating. I can't stop you from anything. Remember, I taught you, and I've said it before in church, you can always choose your sin, but you can never choose the consequence. Never do you get to pick how it turns out. You just put something in motion. And so here's Paul looking at young Timothy. He's looking at people like you. He's going, boy, I love you guys. This world is going to be tough on you. I've read you only one of 19 others. And it's going to get tough. And God whispers to you, you're going to need to know the right answers. And here's the hard part. When you don't have mom and dad around, and you don't have the family next door, like you go off to college, or you're alone with a guy or a girl on a date, you're going to go, I didn't quite anticipate this time. And God whispers to you, I did. I knew exactly what you needed. I know exactly what you need today. It's not an accident I invited you up here today or changed all the things out. I was up here yesterday with someone praying. We were praying in church and got to pray afterwards. And the Lord just put all this stuff in my head and my heart. And I go, God wants you to succeed. Being you, being the man or woman God's called you to be, being more than you can possibly understand sitting there. At 16 years old, I had a speech class in high school. I was terrified every time I had to get up and give a speech. Never dreamed I would ever talk to, like in the case at the high school, 900 different people, or in some other places, 1,000 or more people, and that I would actually be able to talk. But God knows what He has in plan for you. And He goes, don't you live beneath your privilege. Don't you settle. Don't settle for what, you know, nasty guy or girl said or done to you. Don't settle for a set of feelings that may change as quickly as they came on in your life. But He goes on, He says, do you understand that there are going to be people around you, the only thing that matters to them is money? He goes on, number three, do you understand there are people around you, all they are is braggarts, boasters. I'm better than you are, you're a loser. Because I got this and you don't. And this is the way I look and you don't. It goes on, the haughty, blasphemers, slanderous to parents. You hang around with people that make fun of mom and dad? You want to know something? Go home and tell your parents the whole truth about the way you're living, what you're thinking, and how you're feeling. And you will find out in about 15 seconds how smart they really are. If you want to deceive them and lie to them and tell them half-truths and then make fun of them because they don't understand, you go right ahead and do that. But don't call them out, because the problem is not your mom or your dad, nor the desire of the Holy Spirit to work in their lives for your benefit, to guard and watch over and protect you. The dilemma is you're not speaking the truth. A basic thing that God asked you to do, and He said, you do this and I'll bless your life. I will take people around you and give them insight and the right words at the right time, and they will be there for you the way you need them to be there for you. He goes on, He said, these people around you are going to be thankless, unbelievably ungrateful. They're going to be unholy. They're not even going to have the basic core of affection. They forgot how to love people. They know how to love themselves. Can't love anyone else. They're going to be gossips. They're going to have no self-control. They'll say something about you in front of the whole cafeteria, group, whatever it is, that's absolutely hurtful. And they will go home and not even think about it. They'll take your personhood, your personality, anything you are, your secret private information with them, and blab it and put it online and humiliate you and not care a bit. I'm sorry for whatever role I played in this world. I'm sorry because some of these things describe some of the stuff I had to grow up into. And unfortunately, some of the things I was. And even now, some of the things I can still be. It goes on, it says, these people around you are going to be brutal. They're going to hate you when you try to do something good. I've had kids in class refuse to do good because the other kids would make fun of them for getting an A. Oh, you're such a loser. You're a butt kisser. I can't believe you. You just kiss up to all the teachers and they humiliate and hammer and bully you. And so you settle. And I go, who are you to settle? It's not an accident you're here with these parents and this family of God. You're not an accident. Paul understood that looking at Timothy. He could not take this stuff away. I can't make it go away and tell you all the kids at your college will be not haters of good. They'll be really nice to you all the time. And they won't betray you. Don't worry. No one will ever let you down or tell your secrets or blab them to the whole school. And I go, it's not going to be that way. But Paul knew that when he was talking to Timothy. God knew that when he was moving Paul to say these words. And so he comes down and he gets all the way done with this. They're rash, they're reckless, they're conceited, they love play. It's just the whole list. You can read it yourself. But he says, you got to avoid these people. You're going to have to be careful not to be around them because they'll destroy you. They'll eat up your life and destroy you. And he finishes this off and he says, avoid these guys because they'll worm in your life. And the word is really worm, squirm. I mean, how did you ever let a guy like that into your life? I don't know, he just kind of got under my skin. You ever look at some of the guys these girls date? Or some of the girl these guys date? Or some of the things that you hear about people doing? You ever wonder how they started being one of the little ones who was just sitting on your lap? Little ones so innocent, so pure, they could put their head, if you were here that Sunday, when I lay Hazel's head on the altar, said, lay down, honey, and she laid right on the altar. I said, wave at everybody, and she did that. What turns them into the people that become so bitter, angry, unforgiving? And I go, do you think you're going to escape the temptations of this list? I don't. I don't escape it. And so here I am going, I'm preaching to you because when we're done, I want you to do what God wanted Paul, and here through Paul, Timothy to do. I want you to understand that you have been taught by these mothers and fathers, this pastor, people in this congregation, the things of God and how to love God and how to worship God. I'm not sure where you're at. There are a lot of books out there that are written about how kids, by the time they get to be freshmen or sophomores, have already decided to turn their back on God. Book like Gone Already. Oh, they smile. They'll sit quietly in the front row when the pastor makes them do that. But there's no faith. There's no relationship with God. They've killed it. They've walked away from it. You hear these names, these two people that are kind of strange. You go, let me see if I can find the two here in just a minute. Herminius and, I can't, where did they go? I've got to find them. Jannes and Jambres. You know who they are? Those are the magicians that deceive Pharaoh into not listening to Moses. Isn't that fascinating? Do you want to know something? You want to know, if you picture Satan right here, you want to know who he's hungry for? He's not hungry for an old guy like me. Number one, I'm too tough. All right? I've had to fight my battles with him. And frequently, I'm not going to pretend I don't lose some. But I don't know how many more days, weeks, months, or years I got. Nothing compared to you guys. Do you know how a young guy, a young girl, a young guy, you go down this list. You want to know how appealing you are to destroy? If I can destroy you, your freshman, junior, senior year, if I can destroy you before you even get confirmed, you will influence other people in your school, around you, to talk bad about their parents, to become these very people with these very characteristics, and yet you will smile and know when to say, yes, mommy, or yes, daddy. And Paul goes, I don't want any of that. We can't have any of that. And then he finishes his thoughts. You've got to understand, all Scripture is God-breathed. I don't want to talk to you. I want to know that God's talking to you this week. I can't keep up with all the beautiful opportunities and challenges, difficulties, and temptations you have in your life. I struggle enough with my own, and yet at the same time, God wanted them and you to be dealt with and ministered to. He says this, useful to teach you, to rebuke you. Let me find the words because I translated them from the Greek and they're beautiful. For teaching you the correct doctrine, for conviction, uprooting and getting rid of any inconsistencies in your life. The third thing the Word of God does is it straightens you up again. It straightens your life back out when it got wang dangled around. And it is perfect for training you and teaching you how to live a righteous life. I don't have any idea what you're going to be dealing with this year or next year or when you go to college or when you take on the challenges. I do know that Paul, through God, or God through Paul, cared about Timothy. And I do know that he cares about you. He says, if you offend one of these little ones who believe in me, you'd be better off having a millstone tied around your neck. You know, a little one sat on your lap. And you know what? Some of them turned around and pointed their finger at you when they said, who do you want to be like? And if they didn't point at you, what would it take for you to become someone they would want to be pointing at? You understand? There is this place, this position that you hold that's unbelievably significant. You've been called by God. Most of you came for communion, at least those who have been confirmed. Most of you stood up here and understood that God has called you to serve. And yet at the same time, he whispers to you and says this, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness so that the person, the man, the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good thing. You mean God cares about how you're going to answer that guy who's going to say those words to you? Yep. You know? He's going to give you the courage to stand up in the middle of the cafeteria and walk out or say the right thing or not say something? Yep. He's going to give you the ability to walk away from a fight instead of get into one? Yep. He's going to give you the courage and ability to walk into a fight instead of walking away from it. And you'll know the difference. You'll know when to stand and when to walk away. It's been a while since I had you all up here. Look around at the people God's given to you in this fellowship to be a blessing and an encouragement. It's not easy growing up to be a senior, is it? A little bit of work through high school, isn't it? And I'm not even talking studying. Surviving all the other things, right? Yeah. Every one of you has a flavor of that. And certainly as you hack through and begin all the college and post-high school experiences you all go through, you begin to understand God has brought you to this point to minister in the power of His Holy Spirit. And I want to pray over you right now. Lord Jesus, these are your kids. You've given them parents that love them. You've given them a fellowship that wants to bless them. And in each of our own ways, Lord, we're all inadequate. But I pray that none of these kids would be lost. I pray that they would walk away from the lies and deceptions and the temptations. I pray that they would be so filled with wisdom that they would hear the deceiver in the mouth of even their best friend. And when someone or something is causing them to move in a direction that will destroy their life, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would wake them up, that you'd cause them to be filled with the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and give them grace and encouragement and joy. And I pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. God's people say, amen. Amen. As you go.